Good evening and welcome back to the time travel episode of Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our next guest is Tim Swartz. He's traveled the world as a photojournalist, which has allowed him to investigate paranormal phenomena and other unusual mysteries. He's worked with PBS, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, ESPN, Thames TV, and BBC. Tim, I'd be more impressed if there was at least one Playboy Channel reference in there somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that asking so much?
I think I would be more impressed myself if I managed to do that. You're talking about time travel, Ma. There's something that there is a good motivation to have somebody try to find a time machine and get back into your past to try to change your life, to try to change those stupid little things, you know, that we've all done, those little mistakes that have affected our lives through the rest of our lives. You know, wouldn't it be great if we could change those?
Well, we're going to discuss your book tonight, Time Travel, a How-To Guide, a How-To Insider's Guide to Time Travel, which, first of all, time travel, just as Tim was playing the Doctor Who theme, it's one of my favorite TV series out there. I just love the theory of time travel and the idea of it, and I love, you know, there's been so many fantastic movies. For any of you that are out there that might have missed this one, check out Somewhere in Time, probably one of the best time travel movies I ever saw, with Christopher Reeve. Great flick. There's a lot of really good stuff out there. Of course, the Back to the Future series. And I'm just intrigued with the whole theory and idea behind time travel. And what really interested me about having you on the show tonight was, you know, when I got the little blurb on you, it says, visit the past or future with safe and proven methods. We have long been taught that time travel is impossible and at the work of science fiction. But during the past several decades, secret agencies within the U.S. military have successfully been crossing the barriers of space and time. And here's the shattering evidence that we are being visited by time surfers for the future, and that we too can journey forward and backwards. I love that idea. I want to do that so much, you have no idea. But, the one thing I've always theorized, and we've talked about on the show for the last 3 years, that it's strange that there are UFO sightings in and around locations prior to and leading up to and shortly after cataclysmic events. 9/11, that there were some UFO activity sighted and videotaped. The Pope, when he passed away, there was UFO activity over restricted airspace at Vatican City. And I believe it was MSNBC or CNN, one of those actually had the video footage of that. And I've often thought, wouldn't it make sense if, for history's sake, our future historians are going back and rewriting history books the proper way and giving us the answers. You know, we've so much of our stuff, everything, even from Alexander the Great, everything that's been written about Alexander the Great was written centuries after his death. And it's all hearsay and telephone game, you know, versions of history. So it would be interesting to me if they're going back. And do you believe that's part of what the government's doing with this, to negotiate and understand history? Is that why they're traveling back and getting this information?
Well, what you were talking about in that aspect of my book is the reference to what was called the Project Rainbow experiments, which allegedly now, you know, I mean, when I write this in the book, you know, a lot of these things, I mean, I don't have definitive proof that the government has, you know, these portals that lead to time and space. But Project Rainbow was supposedly an offshoot of the Philadelphia experiment, which I don't know if you've ever discussed it on your show before.
Yes.
A lot of your readers may or may not be familiar with it, but in the early 1940s, supposedly the government was working on a way to make battleships invisible to radar, not invisible to, you know, to sight, but invisible to radar. And they were using rotating magnetic fields to kind of degauss the ship, so to speak. And allegedly, the ship they were experimenting with actually jumped through time and space. It was an accident. It took them years to try to figure out what had happened. And they continued this research on the Montauk Air Force Base on Long Island. And according to a number of different writers who have done a lot more research on this subject than I have, this is true. The government does have access to time machines, but, you know, I think one of the things that I write about in the book, and the thing that really interests a lot of people, first of all, is that time travel may be a lot easier than we can imagine, that it possibly doesn't require gigawatts of energy or some kind of a fancy TARDIS to take you through time and place. There may be a way for Mother Nature provides us that currently can't really be understood by our general understanding of universal physics, but is a way that has been demonstrated by what is called time slips, and we can discuss that a little later. But getting back to what you were talking about, UFOs appearing over events that have historical value, why not in the future, whether on this planet or maybe on some distant planet extremely far away in another galaxy, there's a vast tourism industry where tourists with enough money can actually travel back in time and witness these historical events. If you're familiar with science fiction novels of any kind, there's been several different stories that use this scenario, this plot outline. You know, Einstein's special theory of relativity does not prohibit this kind of time travel. In fact, Einstein, if you give it a close examination, it seems to say that this is possible as long as you don't try to change what's going on in the past. You know, you can travel in the past, but as soon as you try to do something to change the past, then it all becomes moot.
Well, I'm curious, with your research that you did, and are probably still working on, I know one big thing that the government's been working on is remote viewing.
Yes.
Now, can remote viewing link us into a portal of time? And I mean, if we're able to see through location and technically through time and space, because we're able to see a location, spot a target, as they're called, and give basic information, that's in a sense a form of time travel, isn't it? Because you're going through some type of portal to get to where they are and opening up yourself. Do you believe that this is also a form of time travel we can do to open ourselves up to the past and understand or see actual events? What would limit a good remote viewer from being able to view the grassy knoll on November 22nd, 1963?
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, when it comes to the human mind and its ability to access the parts of our reality that is beyond what appears to be the physical part of us, you know, time doesn't seem to really exist as we perceive it. You know, Eastern philosophers say that time, because of the environment that we live in, because of the way that our brains are structured, we actually have a false perception of time. I mean, we see time as, to use a metaphor, for example, we're on a raft on a river. And time is the river, and we're riding the river into the future. Well, Eastern philosophy says that time is actually a permanent here now, that everything that ever existed in the past and the present still exists in some place. So rather than thinking of time as a flowing river, you think of it as space. Like the space in your room or the space in your universe, and if you go far enough, you can go and find past events. The future becomes a little bit more hazy. That's why remote viewers have a lot more difficulty trying to hone in on future events, because the future actually divides out into an infinite number of possibilities. Some of these possibilities are more possible than others, but still, what we do right now at this very instant can send you on a completely different pathway into your future time. So if a remote viewer is trying to look at the future to, you know, say look for the next big terrorist event, well, it gets confusing because they can see almost an infinite number of events. So yes.
Or infinite number of possibilities, right?
That's right. That's
because
right.
By their looking, I mean, that's where we start getting into the whole butterfly effect, right? I mean, if they're able to see into the future and see where a possible terrorist attack is going to take place, and we then in effect go stop that, then the vision was non-existent to begin with. So viewing the future is probably a lot harder than viewing the past.
Even the process, according to quantum physics, even the process of viewing a possible future event is enough to change that and to send you off into a completely different pathway. So, and, you know, according to some theoretical physicists, the whole remote viewing of past events could possibly even affect or change the past. We just can't perceive it because it becomes like a cascade effect, like dominoes. It sends then everybody years on down the lines into completely different branches into time and space. Some theorists say that this is happening all the time, that our past is constantly being changed. We don't perceive it because we're along for the ride.
All right, interesting stuff. We have to take a break here in a second. I want to make a quick mention. Resident Evil Degeneration, the new CG full-length animated feature, is available. It came out on December 27th. A zombie attack brings chaos to Harvardville Airport. Leon Kennedy and Claire Redfield, who fought the sinister Umbrella Corporation during the Raccoon City tragedy 7 years ago, are back in this new high-octane Resident Evil style. They're ready to battle a rogue warrior who's seeking revenge after his family was killed in Raccoon City. Now the deadly G virus is unleashed, and a new mutated monster goes on the rampage. Will Claire and Leon be able to terminate the virus before history repeats itself? We have the movie to give away. If you're interested, here's another quick trivia question for you. The first caller to call in correctly and identify these answers will win a copy of the brand new Resident Evil Degeneration CG movie. In the very popular trilogy of Resident Evil live action movies, can you please tell me who plays Alice and who plays Claire? So I want to know the actresses' names that play Alice and Claire. We'll be back with more, and we'll be talking more time travel with our guest right after this. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Tim, did we get a winner? Yep. Okay, we do have a winner, so you don't have to call in. Everybody's like, screw you. You never gave the phone number, Dave. We apologize for that. So I guess people that wrote down the number earlier knew to give us a call. We'll have one more copy to give away of the... DVD Resident Evil Degeneration. We'll have another copy of that to give away tonight. Our guest right now is Tim Swartz. He's the author of Visit the Past or Future, Time Travel, a how-to insider's guide on time travel. And now, how is this something? Do we need some kind of mechanical equipment to time travel, in your opinion, Tim? Is this what it's saying, or can we do this a different way?
Well, there is a number of techniques that have been suggested by those with the New Age or spiritual bent, using mental abilities, astral projection, that sort of thing.
Now, do you believe you've ever time traveled?
No, I'll be absolutely honest with you. No, I'd love to. You know,
you should read this new book. It's called Visit the Past or Future, Time Travel, A How-To Insider's Guide by Tim Swartz.
That's right.
That'll teach you how to try. What would encourage you to write a book on how to do it if you've never done it yourself?
Well, like yourself, I've always been extremely interested in time travel. It's something that, like yourself, I would love to do, and I've tried all of the techniques myself that I've put into the book, but I haven't had any luck. But then again, you know, I've been a UFO researcher and investigator for a number of years. Never seen a UFO myself either.
All right.
So, you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, not everybody has those kinds of abilities. You know, you have the remote viewers, as we talked about before the commercial break. All of us have, to a certain degree, the ability to remote view, but some people are a lot better than others. Same goes with the natural ability to send your mind back to time and space.
I will make a quick mention that Elliot from Burnsville is the winner of our trivia question for the Resident Evil game. And again, the answer for those of you who portrays Claire and Alice. Alice is played by Mila Jovovich, and Claire is played by Ali Larder from the television show Heroes. We'll get back into our topic now of time travel. Now, you said that a lot of these are the New Agey techniques and theories that are supported with the time travel aspect. Which of the ones in your book do you think is probably the most plausible?
The ones that I think are the most plausible would be an interesting phenomenon called time slips. Now, this is something that people generally don't try to experience. It just happens to them. You know, a guy's walking down a street, and he suddenly finds that the sidewalk under his feet has turned into bricks. The buildings around him are a lot older than they previously were. He could actually hear the sounds and smell the smells of what appears to be a different era in the past. And occasionally there has been some reports of people going into the future. Most of the time these experiences are brief. At least as far as we know. I mean, there could be, I mean, if you really want to get wild about this, there could be instances where people have stepped into these possibly windows through time and space and have never come back again. The report.
I was going to ask you that. Do you think that some of these missing people cases that take place are people that just fell through a little continuum there and ended up, that maybe they don't even realize that they've moved forward even by a day?
It could very well be. There's been some really excellent reports that were brought about by the author Brad Steiger that talked about this. I know there was one story of two people. It was a man and his fiancée were walking down a street in Chicago when all of a sudden it's the street around them changed. Instead of cars on the road, there was horse and buggies. The buildings were no longer skyscrapers. They got separated in a crowd, and he was back. She never showed up again. And in fact, he was put on trial for her murder, but because the body was never found, he wasn't convicted. So yes, I mean this could very well be. Most of the time, it appears to be though that these experiences are brief and people return from it. So I mean I think that this is Mother Nature or the universe showing us that that time travel is possible, and possibly that our scientists and physicists are looking at the hard way to accomplish it.
Do you believe that it's really time travel, or is there more, because I think science is actually proving there's probably more of a speculation of a reality slip or a dimensional change than there is of actually traveling in time. That if we are achieving what we believe to be time travel, could it just be that we're skipping into a different dimension or skipping into an alternate reality version of our planet?
Well, possibly that's what time is. There's some very interesting quantum physicists and theories that talked about how our perception of time is really nothing more than traveling through. All of us are traveling through these alternative timelines continuously, so that what we would call time travel, you know, it's one of these things where our vocabulary really is not, it's not there in order to describe these kinds of scientific theories. I mean, we haven't developed the words for this yet, but basically, yeah, I mean, what you're saying could actually be what time travel is. That what we would perceive as our past and our future are merely the alternative possibilities, parallel worlds, so to speak, that exist alongside of us, and that our consciousness, that which makes us who we are, the energy that we all are actually traveling along these infinite number of parallel worlds. Sort of like, as an example, say like the frames of a movie film, and that we're actually skipping along these every second, every moment of our lives.
Do you subscribe then to the theory that we can, if we're able to go forward and backward in time, and that things are all relevant here? I had somebody brought up a pretty interesting point to me. If we time travel, and we theoretically, we set the timer to come back in 20 years, right? Or show up in 20 years from now.
Right.
The Earth will be in a different place, on a different axis, rotating in a different part of the universe.
Right.
So wouldn't that, in effect, then, if we popped in and popped into that area, we'd be somewhere out floating in space? Because the Earth would be on the other side of the galaxy, or, you know, the other side of our universe at that point?
It would be far, far away. Yeah, well, I mean, we talked earlier about some people who may not have come back from the time slip, so maybe that's what happened to them. But Einstein actually had a good point when he mentioned that we all have a time fix, so to speak. The moment that we're born, our life, and then when we die, that is our fix on time, and that can never be... that can never be gotten rid of, so to speak. And because we have that fix, because time and space, according to Einstein's theory, are interchangeable. They're one of the same creature. So because of that, we're always fixed on whatever point that you started from in time. So no matter how far away the Earth has moved in the process of your time travel, you'll always come back to the place that you started from.
So do you believe it's more like a gravitational effect? Like why, you know, my kids brought this up to me when I was, my son, who's now in the Navy, is going to be 21 here soon, said, how come, Dad, if the plane is moving at 300 miles an hour, if I jump up and run and then jump straight up in the air, why don't I hit the back of the plane?
Oh, that's a good one.
But it's because of the gravitational pull, right? Is that essentially what you think is going on with this type of time travel, is we leap, but we're pulled into this Earth, so we're going to leap and end up back here.
That's right, that's right. Well, I mean, gravity, if you consider Einstein's theory that actually mass produces a stretching of time and space, then yes, that's probably, you know, an important factor of it. And, you know, and more than likely, there are other aspects that right now are just completely beyond us and beyond our knowledge of science. I mean, we're just taking those first baby steps on understanding our reality around us. And I mean, if you've got somebody who will come to you and say, oh, well, you know, I know exactly how this works and why it doesn't work, then, you know, forget about it. I'm not going to believe it. It wasn't that long ago that scientists didn't believe that rocks fell from the sky either. So the whole idea that it's impossible to achieve time travel, or impossible to achieve interstellar flight because it's deemed impossible by our current understanding of physics, you know, it means nothing. I mean, there's just so much that we don't understand. And it's like I said, we're just starting to take those little tiny steps out of our house into that great big world. So it's just, it's really beyond us.
Well, Tim, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, our international news correspondent, Adrian Lee, is in studio with us. He has a question for you. We'll get more into this. Our guest is Tim Swartz, and we're talking about time travel and the possibilities of it. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. Oh, yeah, it do, Tim. Tim's picking on me because we're talking about ramp music coming in and out. He's like, I said, hey, how about a little Rolling Stones, Time Is On My Side?
Which
a little Cyndi Lauper, a little Time After Time.
See, you lost me there.
And then Adrian chimes in with, how about some Cher, I could turn back time.
I said, let's get really bad with it. Let's go One Moment in Time by Whitney Houston. Let's just really just stink this whole thing up.
You are just a sad, bitter old
man. Why not?
Man. Our guest this evening is Mr. Tim Swartz, and we're talking about time travel in his book. Now, your book is available everywhere, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. You can find it at just about any bookstore. You can find it on Amazon.com.
And the last name is spelled S-W-A-R-T-Z. So if you're looking it up by author, it's Tim Swartz, and S-W-A-R-T-Z. You'll be able to pull up the information. And you've written other books as well. Tell them about some of the other books, so we've got that out there.
Oh, my gosh. Well, they probably I'm best known for my book, The Lost Journals of Nikola Tesla. I've also written a book called...
I've read those. Those are really interesting.
Yes.
May 4th. Today, I met Bobby and Janie in class. They are my new best friends. That was really interesting, that whole part. No, that wasn't the right journals? Tim's leaving me out hanging.
Oh,
nice.
You threw me for a loop there for a second there. Yeah, actually...
I just asked Janie to the prom. I can't wait to go. Nikola.
Actually, it was recipes and the temperatures of each day in his life. So, yeah, that's what it was.
Excellent. This is great. Today I had a soft bowel movement. Nikola Tesla. Now we know what the true death ray was.
That's right.
All right. We had a quick question. Now, let's say you had the journals of Nikola, the lost journals of Nikola Tesla.
Yes, that's correct.
And where did you find them?
Where did I find them? Well,
were you time traveling? And
no,
you?
That's right.
I know.
Actually, the lost journals of Nikola Tesla refers to papers that were seized by not only the United States government at the time of Tesla's death, but by the Soviet Union and possibly Nazi Germany as well.
How could so many people seize the same papers? Did he make copies?
Well, Tesla had an abundance of paperwork over the years. Most of his material was actually put together by his assistants. Tesla wasn't much of a writer. He actually would envision his inventions in his mind and then just scribble down a few notes. But, I mean, you know, we're talking about a guy who lived well past 80, so he had tons and tons of material. And by the time he passed away, the United States government seized probably a couple of truckload full of material. But before that, his nephew, who was a diplomat for the Yugoslavia government, probably also squirreled away a number of his important papers. Much of it ended up in the Tesla Museum in Belgrade, Yugoslavia. And there's also some interesting ideas that Nazi Germany was very interested in a lot of the research that Tesla had done when he was younger. And we know at the time that Germany had spies in New York, so I think that it's entirely possible that some of his work was also purloined. This would be before the United States had entered the war with Germany, but Great Britain was already involved.
See, this is the part that intrigues me, because if I were like Tesla, if I was Einstein, I would have, once in a while, I'd have just thrown some crazy stuff into the journals just to throw people off. I believe that eating two cases of Twinkies a day followed by a Mountain Dew will help you time travel. See that, and people be like, oh, he's a genius. Read this. What the hell is this about Twinkies and Mountain Dew? That would be my theory on it. Tell them a couple more of the books that you've written.
Okay, well, I've written Teleportation from Tesla to Star Trek. That one's very interesting. Also involves a lot of the theories that we talk about in the time travel book.
Do you believe that we will be able to do teleportation?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, well, we've already achieved, to a certain extent, teleportation.
Oh, no. Tim, you realize that the movie The Fly was just make-believe, right?
Look
what happened to poor Jeff Goldblum.
Well, that just blows my theory all the hell right now. So, yeah.
Well, what about Heisenberg's principle? You can't put it all back together in the same order that it took apart.
Yeah, that's right. Well, right now, we've only gone...
How lame is it that I only know that name because I'm a Star Trek fan? Heisenberg's principle. The Heisenberg capacitor, I think, is what they use in Star Trek to reassemble the... so sad.
Well... You know, a lot of physicists got their start because they were geeks watching Star Trek. That's what inspired them to get into that realm of science, you know, because they wondered, would it be possible to have, say, like a teleporter? Would it be possible to have a warp drive? So now you've got a lot of these up-and-coming scientists who are actually trying to make these kind of things happen. So yes, and part of this research right now is being done on teleportation. Right now, it involves just like little tiny bits of light being sent from one location in the room to the other, almost instantaneously. And some reports have come back that the bits of light are actually appearing before they left. So once again, we're getting into that kind of quasi-weird world of time travel as well.
See, I think some of the most impressive time travel journals I read were The Adventures of Calvin and Hobbes, when they would climb into the cardboard box and race down the hill and check their watch, and it was a minute later, and they had somehow made it to the future.
Well, wouldn't it be nice to have, you know, a device that just had, you know, a past or future dial, and you could just hit it like that and go wherever that you wanted to. I think that's every little boy's dream.
Yes. Now, speaking of every little boy, we have Adrian Lee here all the way from London, England. He's in the studio with us, and he had a question for you. He's also a historian. So he's interested in the time travel. Go ahead.
Hi, Tim. Yeah, one of the things I was interested in as a historian is if you write a biography, what you said about a fix on time, where events happen that shape what you do, it's very linear. We have, as a historian, you have a linear perception of time, and it's a narrative, and it's the best way in which you can fit events into an order that can be easily accessible. I was wondering if you had some sort of concept, if time had a shape, other than linear, or I've read that time could come in ribbons, for instance. Do you have any concept of how time could be shaped at all, or what shape it could be?
Right. Well, and you're correct. I mean, there has been theories that that time is ribbons, or Einstein liked to always say that it was the it was a river, and that this river had had eddies that could actually, you know, take us back to the past or even a little ways into the future. I think actually my own personal theory is that any kind of perception of a shape of time, you know, like you said, whether it be linear or whatever, is probably a construct of our minds, a way for us to really function in this world. And so we really we can't take too seriously how we perceive time and space, because it's merely, as with all of our perceptions, it's merely a construct of the of the human brain. So, you know, other than that, I have no idea. I mean, I subscribe more to the ideas of Eastern philosophy that time is actually just an eternal here and now, and that everything that has ever existed in the past and somewhat, you know, into the future are with us right now.
You know, kind of an interesting theory along those lines, a story I guess I'll share with you. My son and I were driving in a car, and I'm sure that there's a lot of people listening right now that can relate to this. We were driving in a car, and it was icy. I know that's hard to believe, Adrian. He's here in Minnesota and just can't believe the amount of ice and cold we have.
It's biblical. I'm waiting for a plague of frogs next week.
That comes in May, silly. Anyway, we're driving on the road, and all of a sudden we just hit an icy patch. And it's rush hour. There's cars. We're on a major highway. We're out here on 35W. And my car starts to just spin. And the strangest thing was, it was like time was going regular outside the car, but inside the car, it was a totally different atmosphere. Because I looked over at my son, and I put my arm across his chest, and I said, "Oh, God, I'm so sorry." And he goes, "Why?" I said, "Because I think we're really going to get hurt here, son. And I'm really sorry that I didn't see this ice strip coming." And literally, we had this conversation, and he's like, "It's okay, Dad. It's not your fault. You didn't know this was going to happen." And I said, you know, and we literally felt like we had like a 5-minute dissertation between us. And then we went down and into the ditch, and we started to come up on the other side of the road, and a car stopped. But there was this whole calm moment. I mean, I was very aware of what was going on around us and how fast it was, but there was no, "Oh my God, we're going to die." It was just very, "I'm sorry, son. Boy, this is horrible. I'm sorry. We're going to get hurt real bad here." "No, Dad, it's okay. It's not your fault." And we just had this, you know, I mean, what have you heard of experiences like that?
Oh, yes, exactly.
Where it's time within time, it almost seems to be.
Well, and the time that you experience this all, this seemed to last probably a heck of a lot longer than the actual event.
Exactly. That was my point. As I know, this was all of a matter of maybe 3 seconds, because there's no way I could have spun around in the highway that long having a conversation with my son in rush hour without getting hit.
Well, it's interesting that you would say that, because I had the very same experience.
You were driving with my son on 35W?
Tuesday. Well, I was in the back seat. Didn't you know that?
I did not. You time traveling buffoon. Get out of my car.
Well, see, where I live, we had an icy day, and I stepped out of my front porch to go get the newspaper and slipped on the top stairs. And at that instant, it seemed to take minutes for me to fly through the air, both my shoes flying off, landing, breaking my ankle. I mean, I could tell you, I could describe in detail everything that was around me, the Christmas decorations, the way the plants around the front porch looked. I mean, I saw it all. But it happened in only, you know, half a second at the most, but it seemed like minutes to me. Yes, this is a very common description, and goes back to what we were talking about earlier on how our perception of time is really a construct of our brain, really probably in order for us to deal with the harsh reality of living in the material world. So yes. Now, what is interesting is the people who have had these very same experiences and have actually come out of them either hours into the future, or the events happened to them and so they ended up with a shortened amount of time. I'll give you an example. There was...
give us an example in a minute. We got to take a quick break here, and we'll come back and discuss a little bit more about this. You're listening to the Best of Paranormal Talk Radio. Our guest is Tim Swartz. We're talking about time travel. We'll be back with more. Oh, Tim, you should be ashamed. You went to the...
Yeah, I did.
Back to the Future theme?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Well, it's better than Cyndi Lauper.
That's what you say. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show, home of some of the most lame music you'll ever hear.
Wow.
Well, it is a little lame. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, sitting across the board from me, the man with the worst taste in music ever, Mr. Tim Dennis.
Wow, all right.
All the way in from the other side of the pond.
Tomorrow night, you watch. It's going to be some of the worst, truly, you've ever heard.
I don't think that's possible, Tim.
Oh, no. I can get really, really bad.
God. We have Adrian Lee sitting in the studio with us from... London, England. He's traveled through space and time to join us here live in studio with our guest, Tim Swartz. And we do have one more copy of Resident Evil Degeneration to give away, Tim. How do we give this one away? What's a good question? What's something fun to throw out at the people?
Oh, now you want me.
Oh, okay. How about this? What is the official day of our anniversary? For our third year anniversary, what is the official day that it takes place on? Tim, we're going to go back to you real quick. Now, you know, here's something else. We were talking about, like, the car accident, how fast time seemed to progress on the outside and how slow on the inside.
Right.
The other times that I've always laughed about it, and I've talked to my kids about this, I call it bleeding through the fabric of time. There's times that I have to be somewhere. I know it's a 50-minute trip, and I'm running behind, and I'm going, you know, I got 30 minutes to get to a 50-minute location. I'm not speeding, but somehow I make it there.
Yes.
And that happens a lot in my life, and I'm not speeding, I'm not blowing through red lights or doing anything stupid or dangerous on the highway, but somehow I make it to these locations in time or within a moment or two of when I needed to be there, even though I know there was no way I could be there beforehand. Do you believe that that is a form of time travel, or am I just, you know, inadvertently, you know, blasting through, you know, time and space that way? I mean, how do you explain that?
Well, unless you have a warp engine hidden underneath your car somewhere that we don't know about, then...
Well, my kids will tell you my warp engine is hidden up my butt because they've heard it go, and when I hit off, man, it's I break through the time-space barrier all the time.
Well, you know, I have had a number of people email me and send me letters because of my book with almost exactly the same kind of stories. And in fact, just recently I was listening to, and I'm sorry to say this, guys, I was listening to another paranormal radio talk show.
Are there other ones out there?
Yeah, there are, and I was listening.
I'm not sure about that. Are you going to try to tell me that there's radio shows all the way coast to coast across the country? Is that what you're trying to get across to me here, my friend?
All over the world.
Okay. What were you hearing on this, purported other paranormal radio show?
All right. Well, the host and a friend were making the trip from Boston to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And on this trip, they got deep into a discussion about esoteric matters. When they got to Manhattan, in fact, they drove all the way into Queens, I think is what it was. They found that the trip only took them 2 hours. Now, I don't know if you have ever made that drive from Boston to New York, but it usually takes, if you're lucky, 4 hours at the least. And these guys made it in 2 hours. So now, unless they knew a really good shortcut to Grandma's house, I can't think of any other good explanation other than somehow they were able to travel through time and space.
Well, we had this other guest on our show one time, and See, I'm just needling him back for being on a different radio show. Anyway, we had a guest on our show, Bruce Gernon, who wrote a book called The Fog about the Bermuda Triangle.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've heard his story, but...
Oh, very familiar with that.
Right, as he's going through the closing in the clouds, and he's racing through to get to the other side before the clouds close on him, and he's afraid he's going to be lost in the Bermuda Triangle. He comes out, and he's, like, right above the area that he was trying to get to, and he was there 2 hours early.
Right.
And the gas in his gas tank for his airplane showed that he hadn't traveled that time and just misplaced time, because there was still way too much gas in his gas tank to have made it this long trek in that shorter period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's a very interesting story. And as well, I mean, he noticed a number of physical aberrations in the environment around him. He perceived that he was flying through a tunnel in the clouds.
Right.
And he was surrounded by an extremely bright light of some kind, which is not an uncommon report from people who have had such unusual experiences involving what seems to be time and space. You know, there's also been some stories of people who have had UFO experiences, and I'm sure you've heard of the missing time, people who have claimed to have been abducted by UFOs and show up hours late. Well, there's also some interesting stories of people who show up hours early after having a UFO experience. So there does seem, in my opinion, to be something going on with that.
Interesting stuff. And again, do you have a website?
Yes, it's www.conspiracyjournal.com. And I share this website with a number of people who are published by Global Communications. Sean Castillo, one of your earlier guests, is also an author with Global Communications.
Okay, and again, that website is www.conspiracyjournal.com. Okay. And do you have any other personal websites you'd like to throw out there?
Oh, that's really the one that I encourage everyone to visit it. Because not only do we have the website, but Conspiracy Journal also has the Conspiracy Journal newsletter, which comes out free every week, and it's just full of all the interesting, weird news and information that happens every week that we don't hear about on our 6 o'clock news or read in your morning newspaper.
But they hear it here on Darkness Radio every Saturday and Sunday night in the first hour, when we do strange news from around the world with Adrian Lee and Bree Sanders.
That's right. Well, it's amazing the amount of strange news that happens every day that most people don't hear about. And, the Conspiracy Journal, we try to bring you those interesting little bits of information.
Well, I want to tell you, it was a pleasure having you on the show here with us, Tim, and proof that when you enjoy something, it goes a lot faster. This hour was much faster than the last hour. Thank you. Our Sean Castile, nice guy. He just didn't seem to, didn't have a whole lot of answers for his book and his topics, but you were right on topic with us and kept it flowing. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much. I really had a great time tonight.
Yeah, we'd love to have you back in the future here. So as you have new books coming out, please keep in touch with us. Let us know. And again, the author is Tim Swartz, Swartz. The book is called Visit the Past or Future, Time Travel, A How-To Insider's Guide. And again, Tim, we appreciate it. Everybody should check out his website, www.conspiracyjournal.com. Is that right? Conspiracy Journal or Journals?
Conspiracy Journal.
Journal. All right. Well, Tim, have a good one. Everybody else, stay tuned. We're going to be back tomorrow night with another brand new show. Susan Cummins is going to be here to review a book for us. Adrian Lee, again, pulling double duty. He's going to be doing National News of the Strange. And tomorrow night, we're going to be joined by Robert M. Place, an internationally known visionary artist, author, and illustrator, talking about tarot and alchemy. So join us. And then in the hour three, Robbie Thomas, the psychic, joins us for a segment on 2009 predictions. Tim, Dave, and Adrian are going to weigh in with their predictions for the new upcoming year. And we're going to have a lot of fun with that show. We'll also do some mini readings. So tune in tomorrow to the best in paranormal talk radio, Darkness Radio, right here on your home, 100.3 K-Talk.